My good day, how we lie. people of God. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. And take this opportunity to say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers under my voice. Also, we would not want to forget, I want to say Happy Father's Day to all those women of God that filled that role, because there's no father to help them raise their children, whatever children they were raising. We can't forget them either. We thank God for our fathers that are still with us, and we thank God for our fathers that have gone on to be glory, that have left a very strong impact on all our lives. If it were not for them, we would not be here. No matter what their circumstances and situations were, they contribute to our lives to make us better than we are. Could have been worse than it. Help us to improve upon ourselves, no matter what the times were in our life. We're going to thank God for them. We thank God for our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, that saved us and liberated us. He's our spiritual Father. We thank Him for being our Father and adopting us into His family. We thank God for that. If you turn with us this morning to a portion of Scripture, I'd just like to come straight to from this text for you today. And it's Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. New Testament book of Romans chapter 8. I would like to shine a sermonic spotlight on verses 14 through 17 of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Let us pray. Lord, dear God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Father God, it's once again another time, this few your handmaid servants to come and sit at your feet to hear what you have to say to us. Father God, right now, we ask you to create us a clean heart and renew us the right spirit. And then when you've done that, O Heavenly God, we ask that you would just fill us up from the sole of our feet to the crowns of our head. Father God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for new mercies each and every day. Father God, we ask you to continue to look beyond our faults and meet us at our need. Father God, you're such a good God. You're such a Father, and you treat us so good. You've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. We don't know why, but we just thank you. We thank you, Father God. Every day we come to realize more and more how good you really are to us and how much you really love us. You don't have to do it, Father God, but you do it anyway. You wake us up in spite of ourselves. You bless us in spite of ourselves, and we just want to say thank you. That's why we want to say we're so grateful. So, Father God, we ask that right now that you give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. As we hear your word today, Father God, we're unable to do it by ourselves. We have no ability, no intellect. Father God, we're going to ask you for wisdom and understanding that you make whatever word you give to us today, make it plain enough so that a child can understand it. Let it fall on good ground. Let it make it applicable to what your people are going through at this present time. Father God, we ask you right now to use me in spite of me hiding behind the cross. Oh, Father God, look beyond my faults. And Father, let me just you be the one that you use in this day, in this present time right now. Bless your people under the sound of my voice. Father God, crown their heads with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Bless the goings in and the comings out. Bind Satan right now as he goes to and fro, trying to snatch the word and knowledge away from your people. Father God, we want to thank you, and we thank you in advance. We're full of anticipation and expectation. Father God, right now, let us hide your word in our heart so that we might not sin against thee. And whatever's accomplished in this setting, O Heavenly Father, we will be careful to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. Speak, Lord, for your favorite people hear it. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. This morning out the old King James Version, the original text. And it says, when you get that verse 14, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. On this Father's Day, I simply want to walk through the text and talk to you simply about our Father. I want to talk to you today about our Father. People of God, under different conditions and circumstances, it can be embarrassing to admit who your father is. But I'm not speaking here naturally. I'm speaking supernaturally. I'm not speaking about your physical, natural father who we are celebrating this day. But I come to remind you about your spiritual father, who we all are trying to model our lives to be like. Physically, everyone has one father, physically. Spiritually, you have one of two fathers. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus told the Pharisees, "You are children of your father, the devil." The vast majority of people in the world today, at this moment, are children of the devil. But thank God, those of us who have been born again are children of God. There are three key words to keep in mind as we walk through this passage of scripture I read into your hearing. It's the words faith, family, and father. It is by faith that we enter into the family of God. Therefore, we have God as our Father. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, "By as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even those who believe in his name." This verse in John chapter 1 speaks of acceptance into the family of God. But the passage in Romans chapter 8 deals with our adoption into the family of God. There is acceptance into God's family by new birth. Then there is position in the family of God by adoption. Though both these concepts are different, they are indivisible and uniquely related one to the other. Now, practically every Christian knows to get into the family of God, you must be born again. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, Jesus says to Nicodemus, a learned Pharisee, "You must be born again." But so few Christians, even those who frequent churches, don't realize what they immediately become once they are born into the family of God. One of the greatest doctrines, people of God, in the New Testament is the doctrine of adoption. This doctrine teaches us that not only have we been born into the family of God as children, but we have been adopted into the family of God as sons. Follow Pastor. Let me say that one more time. We've been born into the family of God as children. But as we have been adopted as sons, because babies cannot inherit the father's wealth. When you are a child, you are put in trusteeship of somebody else. Born again makes you a child of God, but you are not yet ready to inherit as a child. So he has to adopt you as a son so you can be in full measure an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Which talks to us about the reality of adoption. What do we mean by the word scripturally adoption? It's a legal term. The act by which some person takes the child of another, making that child his own, and giving to that child the same legal position and privilege as if that child were born naturally into their family. Put more simply, it means to take someone into one's family by legal process and raise them and care for them if they were naturally their child. Now that is a legal definition. But there's also a spiritual definition. The Greek word adoption is actually a combination of two words. The word meaning son and the other word meaning place. Son and place. So when we are adopted into the family of God, it literally means to be placed in the family as a grown son after just being born. Did you get that? We are placed into the family as an adult child after just being born. Let me run that by you one more time. You are born into the family of God. Yes, you are. You are adopted into the family of God. Yes, you are. While initially we are born into the family, immediately we are adopted into the family. Let me explain the difference. Adoption is the act of God by which he gives each of his children immediately adult standing. Adoption is not the way you get into the family. You get into the family by regeneration. When someone is born again, they immediately become a new person. That is, you receive a new nature. Now, when somebody adopts a child, they can give them a home, they can give them their last name, they can give them their address, they can give them an inheritance, but they cannot give that adopted child their nature. But once we become a new person in Christ, not only do we take a new position, but we take up a new nature. Because if any man be in Christ, I wish I had a Bible reader, I'm in the book. He's a new creation. We are full-fledged adult children of our Father. Even though we have just been born again, that is tremendously important if you're going to enjoy being a Christian. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to enjoy your inheritance of our Father. We are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So everything that belongs to Jesus is mine because we have the same Father. Because I was born into the family, then on top of that, listen now, God wraps our new birth in his adoption. So I can't lose it because I got our Father's nature. I got his name, I got his home, I got his wealth. I'm talking about God now. I got his peace, I got his joy, I got his mercy, I got his forgiveness. All these blessings are mine because he is our Father and I just got born. There are some rewards that come with this matter of adoption. There are some benefits of being in God's family by birth and by adoption. Birth gives us a new nature. Adoption gives us a new position. We are in the family twice, by birth and by adoption. When I'm born into the family, I don't know anything yet. I just got born. The money is in my account, but I can't access it yet because I'm not yet mature. So then our Father God matures us.
so that I can come into my full inheritance, even though I don't even own a Bible, even though I can't quote a scripture, even though I don't know a hymn, even though I can't teach Sunday school, even though I don't know how to preach, everything that belongs to my elder brother Jesus Christ comes down to me. Let me give you some of the raw rewards of being God, being our Father. There's some spiritual, supernatural leadership of the Holy Spirit that He will give you. The verse says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God. I'm reading the book. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If we indeed suffer with Him, then we may also be glorified together. There are two characteristics, y'all, of a true child of God. On the one hand, they will be steered by the Holy Spirit. But on the other hand, they will be submissive to the Holy Spirit. The led now, the word led in the text means to be willingly led. It means to follow God voluntarily as a volitional surrender of my own desire. I hope you're with me. One of the reasons some Christians doubt their salvation is because they are living stubborn, rebellious lives. They are not yielding themselves to the leadership of our Father. So the Spirit will not lead you if you don't give Him permission. There's no way you can feel the assurance of the presence of God in your life by rejecting the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Any Christian that neglects to study the Word of God, our Father, any Christian that neglects God in prayer, any Christian that neglects having a quiet time every day, any Christian that neglects regular fellowship with God's people, any Christian who is careless about their obedience to the will of God, you will undoubtedly have doubts about your salvation. But I promise you, if you have daily quiet times with God, if you walk with God, if you stay in the Word, you will dispel the darts that try from the enemy that try to penetrate your armor. The devil can't stop you when you know who you are and whose you are. We know who our daddy is. It is right here in verse number 15. Here's another benefit. Our Father gives you supernatural, spiritual liberty. That supernatural, spiritual liberty. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. One of the greatest differences between a sinner and a saint is this. The sinner lives in fear, but the saint lives in faith. People who try to control things, that really is born out of fear, a deep-seated insecurity. Whenever you say you are in control, that's really not true. What's really controlling is the fear you have that things will get out of control. People will be led, but they will not be controlled. I'm in charge of my house. I'm in charge of this ministry. And whatever comes up that I cannot handle, I have faith enough to believe that God will help us to work it out. When I did not know God, I thought that every time I sinned, Deacon Dream, I thought I was going to hell. Every time I messed up and made a mistake, I thought God was going to swat me down and kill me. That's because I really did not know God. It was not God controlling me. It was God's Spirit in control of my life. But when God is in charge, it is not the spirit of fear, but of power and a sound mind. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. So verse 15 says, I can call my Father. Abba, the word Abba is Aramaic for daddy, for papa, for father. So I can call Him Father, I'm hungry, and He will show up and feed me. Father, I'm tired, and He's going to wrap His loving arms around me. Father, I'm scared, you'll come and get in the presence of my enemies. Yeah. Father, I don't know what to do. Yeah. I'm in a bad circumstance, a situation. He comes and takes me by the hand. Yeah. Father, I don't know what this thing is going to turn out to be for me. I'm all alone by myself. Yeah. Daddy shows up and says, stand back, boy. I got it. I got your back. No weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. Son, you are more than a conqueror. I wish I had a witness under the sound of my voice. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, oh, whether will Clark go? I'm trying to do my best to explain this to y'all now. When you are a child of our Father, you can stand much taller than you really are. Can I get a witness here? Because God is our Father. When the wicked, even our enemies and our foes, come upon us to eat up our flesh, my Father, our Father says, leave my child alone. Anybody under the sound of my voice knows that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? There's another benefit that comes with this adoption, church. Paul says, do you realize how much God really loves you? God wants to have a kind of relationship with you that you can call him daddy, that you can call him father. When you don't have a strong relationship with God, you come to him with words like this: these, thou's, and therefore, and can't I. Can I get a witness in here? That is proper speech. That's the King's English for somebody you don't know. But when you have a close relationship with God, you can talk to him like you talk to your daddy. You can say, now, daddy, listen. I don't like this person, and I'm about to shake their hands. I need you to give me the courage and the strength to shake their hands and keep it moving. Father, I'm having a bad day, and somebody's about to get told. Father, I'm about to lose my mind up in here. I need you to give me strength to make it through another day. Father, I'm getting ready to lay down to sleep tonight. All night, I want you to place your warring angels around me in my house and to keep me safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. And while you're at it, oh Father God, keep that death angel off my back. Can I get a witness up in here? You can lay down and have a peaceful rest because your Father is watching over you. He that keepeth Israel, people of God, shall neither slumber nor does he sleep. The Lord is our keeper. He's our Father. The Lord is the shade on your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. I hope y'all hear me up in here. The Lord will preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth. Our Father will go to sleep with you at night. He will wake you up in the morning. Our Father will give you peace, joy, all day long, because he's our Father. I'm talking about Father's Day here. Said the robin, hey, listen to this. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, I think that it must be. They have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Jesus said, consider the birds. They neither sow nor reap. They don't gather into any barns. Yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Consider, people of God, the lilies of the valley, how they grow everywhere. But Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed up like the lilies of the field. Now if our Father has birds of the air and lilies in the field that he created, he's more than our creator. He's our daddy. He's our Father. He's our Father, y'all. We have a sweet legacy. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. A baby cannot inherit anything. If two parents die and all they have is a baby, they leave that estate to that baby. Walk with me. But the baby has to be under the guardianship of a trustee until he or she can legally inherit the wealth. But the moment you and I are saved, we immediately inherit everything God has to offer. And God offers us everything that he has. We have the wealth available to us right now as Christians. We are filthy rich. I'm talking about the moment you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have the riches of his grace, the riches of his wisdom, and the riches of his mercy. But beyond that, we have a future inheritance. Oh, y'all ain't with me. Beyond all of that, we have a future inheritance that the moths, I'm talking about the bats, cannot corrupt. Thieves cannot break through and steal, because the devil comes like a thief in the night to kill, seek, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come so that you have life and have it more abundantly. Now listen to me, listen. This arithmetic of inheritance is different than the inheritance we receive on earth. I'm trying to get out your way. On earth, if there's more than one heir to an estate, more than one baby to these parents, then each will receive equal share. That means that each one will get a certain fraction of the whole amount. That's an earthly inheritance. But the inheritance of heaven is not under such restrictions. Every adopted child will get a full measured inheritance. I don't have to share my mansion with nobody. I don't have to give you a part of my robe. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, Daddy would have told us so. I got a mansion, you got a mansion. All God's children got a mansion. The Spirit himself now, listen, I'm in the text. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. A baby does not know it is a baby. It does not know it is a human being. He knows very early that some people are very close to him. Someone is always kissing him. Someone is always holding him. Someone is always paying attention to him. But he does not know who they are. He does not know initially to call them mama or daddy. But when we are saved, what happened, Jesus? When we are saved, God sends his Holy Spirit into our hearts to show us immediately that we are his children. The Spirit witness is mentioned three times in the New Testament. Three times in the New Testament, the Spirit is with it. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 15, we are told he witnesses to us, that gives us the fact of our salvation. The fact. But the faith of our salvation is 1 John chapter 5 and 10. And the feeling of our salvation is in Romans chapter 8. And these verses I read and I'm attempting to try and preach and teach to you about. A true child of God hates sin, y'all. He longs for the return of his Father, Christ. He loves other Christians. He and she desires the word of God. He will want to be more like Jesus. And he is always trying to bring others into the faith that they have found for themselves. When you know God and you are close to God, you want others to get in the family. I've kept it long enough. But I'm going to leave you this. And I read a book. And it was a war story back in World War II. Deacon Drain, these two friends went off to battle in World War II. They came from the same neighborhood. And they met up with each other before going on the battlefield. The only difference was this. One was from one side of the track, Isaiah. And one was from another side of the track. Yeah. One was wealthy, well-to-do. And the other was poor. But they both were on the battlefield. In battle together, in battle together than fans in confrontation with the enemy. The one rich one, listen to me now, the rich one got mortally and fatally wounded, and his friend who was in battle with him was holding him in his arms. And as he lay there dying, and his coat, his jacket was filled with blood, he says to the friend, he said, listen up, I want you to do one thing for me. When you get back home, I want you to take this blood-soaked coat and take it back to my daddy. And when you take it to my daddy, what I want you to tell my daddy is, say, I fought a good fight.
Right.
I finished the course.
Uh-oh.
I died honorably.
Yes,
in battle. You give my daddy this coat with my blood on it, and you tell him that I told you that I said that I want you to inherit everything that was coming to me. All of my riches, all my land, all my wealth that my daddy had, tell him that it now belongs to you. So his friend said, why would he believe him? He said, because you got a witness. You got some proof. You got my blood-soaked coat that you gonna show him. He said, okay, I do just like you say. He got back home, went on the estate of his friend's father, and he went into the door, and he said, sir, I need to talk to you. He said, what are the likes of you doing here? He said, I got some message, a message from your son. I know how they feel a bit. Your son told me to tell you that he fought a good fight. He died a good honorably course. He paid the price. And he wants me to inherit everything you had for him. He said, and you expect me to believe that? He said, yeah, he told me to give you his blood-soaked coat. Or I can make a plan for you. Jesus died for us long ago. He paid the price for our sins. He shed his blood, y'all, on Calvary. And because he shed his blood on Calvary, that means that we have a right. We have a privilege. We've been born again, adopted in the family, and we are heirs, joint heirs with Jesus the Christ. All God has to see is the blood stain over our lives. And that shows that we have a right to say, he's our Father. May God bless. May God keep you, people of God. This is my prayer. We're not going to extend the invitation to discipleship. Maybe someone don't know the Lord as their personal Savior. The Bible said now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. When you hear God calling to your heart, harden not your heart. You may be saying under the sound of my voice, but how I know God's talking to me? You just heard the word of God. God's word never returns unto him void. He was speaking to your heart, encouraging you, letting you know how much he loves you. You need to give your life to Christ so he can be your Father, just like he's our Father. You may know the Lord already as your personal Savior. You feel that you have not always done, are not doing what God asks you to do, and you have not been obedient to the word of God. I want you to let you know that, yeah, in many cases you have forgot about God, but I want you to let you know there's some consolation for you there, and comfort. God did not forget about you. God said, I'm married to the backslider. He said, nothing can take me out of my hand. I got you. I've been watching over you. You're not hearing this word by coincidence. You're hearing the word of God based on a setup by God. Give your life, return your life back to God, and he will take care of you. May God bless and keep you. This is my prayer. Let us pray. Well, Heavenly Father, right now, bless your people. Father God, right now, we thank you for what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard. Father God, let people hide your word in their hearts so they might not sin against you. Father God, you're such a good God. We just want to say thank you. We just humble ourselves before us, God, because we're not even worthy. We're not even worthy to be in your family. But we thank you, Father God, that you regenerate us. You allow us to be born again.
and then you wrapped up your new generation, our new birth, in your adoption, making us a full heir to the promises of God. And we thank you for that. We ask you for your grace and your mercy. We ask you creating us all a clean heart and renewing us the right spirit. And then when you've done that, oh Heavenly Father, give us a fresh anointing, filling us up from the sole of our feet to the crowns of our head. And Father God, then bless everyone in the sound of my voice. Bless New Jerusalem. Bless every father right now. Every mother that's acting like a father. Bless them, Father God, their goings in and their comings out. Protect your people, oh Father God, from all hurt, harm, and danger, and most of all, the wiles of the devil. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of his Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us both now and forevermore. And everyone under the sound of my voice say, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Bless you, people of God, till next week.